All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rinkwide Vancouver. A good night for the depth guys on the Vancouver Canucks as they lead the team to a 4-1 win over the Montreal Canadiens. This is Rinkwide Vancouver. It's coming to you from our studio in the lower lobby of the Wall Center Hotel. If you're looking for meeting or conference space in downtown Vancouver, the Wall Center offers 30 unique event rooms, from small conference rooms to the grand ballroom to the Constellation floor, 34 stories above the city with incredible views and an outdoor patio space. Consider the Wall Center for all your conference and event needs. Email them, sales@wallcenter.com. Jeff Patterson joined once again by Irfan Ghaffar on this episode of Rinkwide Vancouver. And as I said right off the top, Irf, this is a night for the depth guys. Not one of the Canucks' top five scorers found the score sheet, and yet the Canucks skate away from the Montreal Canadiens with a fairly convincing three-goal victory.
Yeah, some nights you're going to need your depth guys to get wins, especially down the stretch here. And for the Vancouver Canucks, you know, some of the superstars, and I don't think just for the Vancouver Canucks, but, you know, around the National Hockey League, you look at a game against a lowly opponent, the Montreal Canadiens, you know, maybe your stars don't get up for this type of game, but that's why you have your depth guys. That's why you have guys on the third and fourth line that can pull through and can lead you to win. So some pretty good nights by guys that we've been talking about that needed to have good nights of late, Jeff, and I'm sure we'll dive right into it. But 4-1 victory, convincing for the Vancouver Canucks.
Nikita Zadorov with a pair, up to six now on the season. Connor Garland with his 15th of the year. And that stretched the Canucks' lead to 3-0 late in the second period, and it looked like maybe they'd be on easy street, and then, hang on a sec, we've seen this before. A last-minute goal in the second period when the Canucks were up by three. Of course, Colorado rode all the way back and beat the Canucks last week in overtime. When Juraj Slafkovský scored, it wasn't in the dying seconds, but it was the final minute of that second period. But not to worry in this one. The Vancouver Canucks allowed just three third-period shots by the Habs. Nils Amon, we talk about depth guys and players that haven't contributed an awful lot. Nils Amon with a nifty deflection of a Tyler Myers shot. That rounded out the scoring midway through the third. And look, Casey DeSmith, there was some concern, obviously, when Thatcher Demko went down with injury. But we talked about the fact that the schedule, both in terms of quality of opponent, but also just the rest days, the practice days, the opportunity for a goaltender to step in and just provide a baseline. Doesn't have to be a star. Casey DeSmith isn't going to be Thatcher Demko. Well, DeSmith is now 2-1-1 in the four games since Demko went down. More than that, though, is the fact that the last two games, Irf, against Buffalo the other night and this one against Montreal, the Vancouver Canucks have held both of those opponents to just 17 shots on goal. Like, that's doing your goalie a solid. and making his life a whole lot easier.
Well, absolutely. And I think that that's the one thing when you look at DeSmith, you know, there was talk about the Jennings and all of that before the season started. And are they going to have the best 1-2 goalie punch in the National Hockey League? And then things kind of came back to reality a little bit for DeSmith. But that's why they went out and made that acquisition, Jeff, before the season started, right? I mean, you go and do it. You get a guy that's, you know, able to come in and then proven that he can play and be a solid NHL backup goaltender. And he is being that. And, you know, there's the age old, you know, saying that, you know, the guys play a little bit harder for their backup. And it's proven that the last couple of games with, you know, guys blocking shots, you know, guys getting in front of pucks, guys making life a lot easier for DeSmith. The opponents haven't been the opponents they will be next week, but they are still doing a good enough job of letting DeSmith see the puck.
And, you know, don't lose sight of the fact that that save off Brendan Gallagher,
yep,
stepping out of the penalty box after the Canucks had squandered a minute and 6 seconds of 5-on-3 time. They had the first two power plays. In fact, they had the first three power plays of the night. But at that stage of the hockey game, it's still scoreless. You're looking for the opening goal. And Nick Suzuki feathers a pass to Brendan Gallagher, the former Vancouver Giants standout. And yeah, it's been a tough year for Gallagher on and off the ice. I'm sure that would have meant a lot to him and to his hockey club. But, you know, that's a big save and a big moment for Casey DeSmith. And again, he wasn't busy on the night, but also stared down Cole Caulfield on a power play. We had a good look, and we know that Caulfield can pull the trigger. There aren't a lot of guys on this Montreal team that can, but for my money, that save on Gallagher, just the point in time of the hockey game. You know that the Habs fans and the diehards, and credit to them, even with their team struggling, these are still the Montreal Canadiens, a ton of red, white, and blue at the rink tonight. That would have got them out of the seats, and who knows how this game goes from there. But Casey DeSmith doing his job, and I thought actually made that save look relatively easy. It kind of speaks to the control that he had on this night, but a big stop at a big time for the Canucks netminder.
Well, that was the thing. And then you look in the second period, Jeff, that Smith on Joel Armia as well.
Yeah.
That was point blank, and he had to be sharp there. But, I mean, yeah, we have to give him his flowers. You know, he has played well. Again, the opponents are who they are, but they're still National Hockey League opponents. Cole Caulfield is a really good hockey player. You know, Joel Armia, obviously, you know, can put the puck in the back of the net as well. And, you know, the opponents that he's been had to face, he's come up big, and he's come up when he needed to. And I think that that's the thing when you look at it, if you are the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, you look at their attempts blocked, they had 13 block shots, right? From the Montreal Canadiens, they had 13 shots blocked. I mean, the Canucks are doing a really good job. I know, you know, Brock Besser blocked one and the bench went wild for it late in the third period as well. But that's just guys buying in, right? Guys knowing that, you know, they have a backup goalie and knowing where they are in the standings and how important these games are, even though, you know, they may not seem as important, you know, in the standings. But, you know, we talked about it. The Edmonton Oilers obviously are rolling right now, and the Canucks are going to need every point that they can get. So you look at your opponents and you look at the schedule and of games that you should win. The Canucks went out and took care of their business tonight.
Well, Connor Garland scored the other night, opened the scoring, yep, in the first period. Here it was a second period goal. And again, at 3-0, kind of thought that that would be a nail in the coffin, but Montreal able to get the one, but that's all they got on this night. But, you know, Connor Garland now 14, and this one was 15 for him on the season, off the rush. Again, a nice pass from Teddy Bluger to Spring Garland down that right side or left side, right-handed shot, and he picked his corner. Now, from distance, maybe that's one that Sam Montembeau stops more often than he doesn't, and I'm sure it's one that he would like to have saved, but give Garland credit, gets the shot away, quick, sneaky little snapshot in under the bar, perfect position, and for Garland, he's up to 15 now. There's a dozen games to go. I'm not going to sit here and declare that he'll be a 20-goal scorer for the first time in Vancouver colors, but it got me thinking that last year, he needed a hat trick on the final night of the season in Arizona, his old stomping grounds, to get to 17. This is a guy that has, you know, logged third-line minutes primarily on one of the best, if not the best, third lines in hockey when it was healthy, when Dakota Joshua was in the lineup. But we know that there hasn't been a lot of power play production, and he's up to 15 goals now and starting to heat up a little bit. So I wouldn't rule out 20, especially if he continues to play with Elias Pettersson 5-on-5. But whatever the case, Connor Garland starting to chip in offensively where, you know, for much of the season, it's just been the work rate. It's been the hustle. It's been dogged determination and all of those types of things. But starting to see a little bit of a payoff for him. And as we said, Nils Amon. And that just kind of typifies the night that it was. So we came in and right off the top said, like, none of the top five scorers, Miller, Pettersson, Hughes, Besser, and Hronek. I mean, those are the guys. Now, they had their chance. They were served up a minute and 6 seconds of 5-on-3. And they went with the two defensemen set, which was, interesting because if you're going to have Phil Hronek out there on a 5-on-3, I want to see the guy have five.
There's only one reason why he's out
heavy
there.
Shots. Well, they registered one shot on goal in the 5-on-3. It was JT. It was a good chance. Quick pass right along the goal line in the blue paint, and Montembeau made the save there. But yeah, I mean, what an opportunity to sort of put a stamp on this hockey game relatively early. And that's where we said, like, that Gallagher goal mm-hmm. could have been huge for the Habs. Wasn't to be, but, you know, the other night there were some signs of life on the power play. This kind of feels like a step back and more of what we've seen from the Vancouver Canucks power play here of late. So not out of the woods, not by a long shot, and somewhat deflating that, you know, the power plays overlapped. So the minute and 6 seconds of power play, but essentially they had back-to-back power plays registered two shots on goal. In fact, they had three power plays in that first period and finished the night with just two shots on goal. Vasilipod Kolzin had the other one. So the top unit guys just didn't have it. But that is, again, 5-on-3. You get served up on a silver platter like that, you've got to put the hammer down.
Oh, absolutely.
And they didn't.
Yeah, and I think that that's the thing. I agree with you. If Ronick's out there, the guy's got the hardest shot in the league, I think, registered this season in-game. It was like 97 or 96
then
or something like that.
Let's see it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why? I don't understand why. I mean, Quinn Hughes is trying to get the puck through the through, and, you know, they're trying to make it easy and trying to make it fancy and finesse. Sometimes in the playoffs, you're going to need pucks on net, and it's cliche to say and things like that. I know Rick Tocchet was on the whiteboard talking to his guys after the power play to see what was going on there, but it is that simple, Jeff. In some cases, it's shoot the puck. You've got guys that can shoot. Why aren't you shooting it?
Or if look at the way they open the scoring. Yeah. Some good work by that Lindholm line with McKayev and Lafferty. Still trying to figure out what those three component parts can do together. But Lafferty and McKayev, and look, McKayev is showing some real signs of life here over the last week to 10 days. And that's an encouraging sign for him and for the Vancouver Canucks. Nice work to hold on to the puck. Gets it back to the point. You know, Lafferty doesn't figure in the scoring, but man, like, that's one of those plays where you should get a third assist because he stands his ground in front of the net, take the eyes away from the goaltender. But what does Zadorov do from the point? Gets a shot on net and it finds its way all the way through. So a lot to like in that sequence. McKayev and Lindholm get the assist, but Big Z was, he was just getting warmed up. That was his first of two on the night. And then he had the chance in the second period down the left wing where he got a pretty good shot away and looking for the hat trick. He did score a hat trick on the final. Connor Garland scored a hat trick on the final night of the regular season for the Canucks last year. Nikita Zadorov had a three-goal night in Calgary. So he had an NHL hat trick, finishes this night with two. And that second one was pretty off the rush. Again, a nice pass from McKayev. So a couple of primary assists for Ilya McKayev, who really was a factor in this hockey game. But it was Zadorov showing some pretty nice hands there and some nice finish to put the Canucks up 2-0.
And you know the one that he just missed for his third. That was high glove. You know he wanted it. You sure. know he wanted that one bad, yeah. right? So that one would have been pretty. But, I mean, good for him. And I think that, you know, he's a guy that in that dressing room, he's a big personality. Right. And he talks a lot. He speaks his mind. He says what he wants. And, you know, I think he is a physical presence out there. He's obviously a very big defenseman. But, you know, him getting on the score sheet is just is another thing that if you look at it from the Canucks defensive perspective, it's not really all just Quinn Hughes all the time. I know Philip Ronick's been putting up points, but if you can get contributions from Zadorov, I know it's not going to happen every single night. We're probably not going to get defensemen to score two goals every single night if you're the Vancouver Canucks, or even one, let alone unless you're Quinn Hughes. But the fact that they're able to get that and get it early is obviously a positive sign for them.
But look, you get into the playoffs and there are going to be nights where top-end talent cancels off and cancels each other out. And that is the importance of having some nights like this one. And so this late in the season, this was game number 70. There are a dozen to go now. Down the stretch they come for the Vancouver Canucks. They're up to 44, 18, and 8 now on the season. 96 points. They keep pace with the Edmonton Oilers, who spotted Buffalo an early 2-0 lead on home ice and then roared back and thumped the Sabres by an 8-3 final. So the Oilers win again, but so do the Vancouver Canucks. So they hold court in that regard, hold serve. And look, Irv, you and I have done enough of these over the course of the season, and we've referred back to November when the Canucks were sort of win one, lose one. There was that 10-game stretch, and how were they going to pull out of it? And they got on this incredible run where they went 18-2-4. I mean, there's still time, I suppose, but, you know, they're 6-1-1 in their last eight hockey games. And since that 4-game losing streak where it felt like the sky was falling, the first real adversity for the Vancouver Canucks all season long, since they lost 4 in a row, they're 7-2-2 in their last 11. So they have done this time and time again this season. And, you know, the last half of that stretch is without their starting goaltender. And you thought maybe that might do some psychological damage to the hockey club at the very least. But give Casey DeSmith credit, give the guys in front of him credit. You know, I think they know that they're being pushed by the Oilers and that this Pacific Division isn't wrapped up, not by a long shot, but every time the Canucks win, it just makes it that much tougher for the Edmonton Oilers, who have three games in hand. But as I said, like, Canucks only have 12 games to go. Like, we're coming to the end here, or the Oilers have a far more compressed schedule, and we'll see if that catches up to them. So Canucks have to be mindful of what's going on around them, but ultimately the scoreboard that matters most is the one in the rink that they're playing in, and we know that that's Rogers Arena for the balance of this month. So they're 3-1-1 on the homestand. They've picked up 7 of 10 points, a 700-point percentage. Hard to argue with that. And there are 4 to go. So they're past the midway mark of the homestand now. But off to a 3-1-1 start. Yeah, there have been a couple of hiccups along the way, sure. But I think at the outset, if you told them that they would pick up 7 of the first 10 points, and we'll see what happens now. They got Calgary on Saturday, Los Angeles and Dallas. Those ones won't be easy. Anaheim at the end of the month. The Ducks are the Ducks, and the Ducks handled them not that long ago. I'm putting that one in the should-win category, but you take each game as it comes as a challenge. And you know, I don't want to see the Canucks look past anybody. But there are still points on the table here for them the remainder of this homestand. If they can go 3-1 over the final 4, then I think that you would declare the 9-game homestand a massive success.
Well, absolutely. And I think that a lot of us had this circled on the calendar, including the players, of finally being able to get that home ice and, you know, take care of their home ice and be that dominant team that they have been all season at Rogers Arena. So I agree with you. You know, you take care of business on the Flames, as you should on Saturday. And then, you know, you're going to get some opponents in here. The Dallas Stars have been playing some pretty good hockey of late. And the LA Kings are fighting for their playoff lives. So that's another team that, you know, is going to be coming in here pretty hungry. The last time they were in here didn't go so well for the Vancouver Canucks. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we mentioned the contributions from other guys off the top of the show and then not the superstars. They might need more of this coming down the stretch. And I want to mention, Elias Lindholm and that line. And, you know, we talked about it so much, Jeff. What is that line and what is his role? This might be it. Right? Like if this line is something that Rick Tocchet keeps trotting out there, Lindholm and the Canucks and their coaching staff have to realize, okay, maybe he's not going to be the offensive guy. Maybe he's going to be the defensive specialist that we need.
Well, it's funny because he did figure in the scoring on a night when others didn't. So there was a contribution there, but just wins 3 of 13 faceoffs, which is so unlike him in his time as a Canuck and really all season long. Jake Evans got the better of Elias Lindholm. Obviously, Lindholm and the Canucks get the last laugh on the scoreboard. They sweep Montreal in the 2-game season series, and that's what you have to do. Again, I think Lindholm's future in some ways tied to the return of Dakota Joshua whenever it happens. I would imagine that Tocchet's going to continue to roll with this third line as it's currently constructed. But then whenever Dakota Joshua gets back, and we don't know, all we know is that it's not going to happen Saturday, hopefully by the end of the homestand. But does that give Tocchet that, like, you know, Pia Suter playing on the line with JT Miller and Brock Besser? That's fine. Suter doesn't hurt them in that position. But, you know, where ultimately I think most people think, well, the way that third line was going, you have to give them a look again. But now Connor Garland has been elevated to play with Pettersson. So, you know, there's lots of moving parts here. And I think for Tocchet, it's just a question of, like, who's going at the time that Dakota Joshua gets back. And then you sort of figure out maybe, you know, where he is best suited and best slotted. But, you know, for Elias Lindholm, and interesting to hear the coach after the morning skate drop a little bit of news, in as much as, you know, especially this late in the season, I was surprised Rick Tocchet, you know, Ian Cole, it wasn't necessarily load management, that he was playing through something. He said he could have played if he had to, but they wanted to give him rest. They want to get him healthy, and they wanted to get Noah Juulsen back into the game or into the lineup. But then he went on to say that Lindholm's playing through something as well, which, again, I just was surprised this deep into the season that the coach would even go there.
Yeah.
So we'll have to monitor that to see if it's something that's going to require maintenance days of practice. You know, is he going to have to sit for a game or two? Because ultimately, it's not so much what happens here over the final 12. They need Elias Lindholm, the best version of Elias Lindholm, ready for game 1 of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's upper body for Lindholm, and I think it's something that he's kind of been struggling with, or it's been something that's kind of been nagging him all for a good part of the season. Let's just say that. But it's something that he obviously can play with. But I do agree with you. I wonder if there's going to be some load management type of things, if they can, you know, manage the pain or manage the injury, and while he can get nights off, you know, before, like you just said, as they head into game one.
When I look at this game in totality, and again, Montreal made it a little bit interesting with the late goal in the second, but you know, the scoring chances, according to Natural Stat Trick, at 5-on-5, 24-8 in favor of the Vancouver Canucks. The high dangers, 8-4. Vancouver gave up 4 high danger chances. Now, there was a fair bit of special teams both ways. The Canucks had the 3 power plays in the first period, Montreal with 3 straight in the second period, and that was the surest thing. Once the Canucks had 3 power plays, you knew the Habs were going to get their opportunities, and they did in that second period. But on the night, both teams with 3 power plays. I guess Arbor Jacki was assessed a roughing penalty at the final whistle in the third period. Officially, they've got the Canucks with 4 power plays, but they didn't get a chance. There was no time after the final buzzer, so we'll see if they change that. But on the game sheet, at least, they've got the Canucks 0 for 4. I've got them at 0 for 3. All of those power plays coming in the first period, including the 5-on-3. And speaking of first periods, and this has been part of the secret sauce. Now, I know that Washington erased the 1-0 deficit and won 2-1, and we know what happened against Colorado last week. But, Irv, just doing the math here, as this night unfolded, the Vancouver Canucks jumped out to a 3-0 lead after 20 minutes against Winnipeg. They were up 2-0 on Colorado. They were up 1-0 on Washington. They were up 1-0 on Buffalo. And they were up 2-0 with the Zadorov goals here in the first period. What's the common thread there? All of the goals have been scored by the Vancouver Canucks in the first period on this homestand. They haven't allowed a first period goal in their last 6 games, if you go back to the end of the road trip in Vegas. But just looking at the homestand, 5 games in now, we mentioned the Canucks are 3-1-1, and a big part of that winning record is that they get the lead. Now, they'd been scoring early in hockey games. Gasp, they had to wait until the 15:38 mark to open the scoring in this one, and then Zadorov in the final minute. But the final tally there is, through 5 games of the homestand, they've outscored their opponents 9-0 in first periods. I mean, that is a nice recipe for success.
That's being ready to play, right? Yep. And that's home ice. That's home cooking. That's coming to the rink, you know, going through your pregame routines, being on the ice for warm-up, taking care of business, whatever it is, you're ready to play. And I think that that's a very, very big thing and a very positive thing for the Vancouver Canucks. As it looks, you know, as we head down the stretch here with 12 games to go, you know, if they can finish atop of their division, you get that home ice, right?
Yep.
And you want to be able to be on top of teams very early, especially heading into the playoffs. So good on them for being able to do this. And I think it's just inevitable, right? Like, we know, we're sitting there watching the games. We're like, they're going to score at some point, right? Before the period ends.
But I think it also speaks to, you know, readiness of a guy like JT Miller and his line taking on these matchups early in hockey games. And, okay, this one, they didn't generate offense, but they're not getting scored on either. And so, I mean, the Canucks have been a great team at opening the scoring throughout the season, but they have kind of found that groove again here at home as Rick Tocchet's able to dictate the matchups and get the combos out there that he wants against other teams. You know, I keep banging this drum that, you know, first place overall, forget that. I'm not even sure there's an appetite for another President's Trophy in Vancouver. First place in the conference, to me, that's not even that big a deal anymore.
Until you get to the Western Final.
Yeah. And if they get to the Western Final, I think everybody's calling it a resounding successful season, and you'd take your chances at that point. And there's nothing to say that you couldn't win starting on the road. But I keep coming back to, they've had this big lead atop the Pacific. I think it's really important that they maintain it, that they hold off the Oilers. And I've also said that for me, this year, winning a playoff round is a must.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we're going to grade this season, and there may be some that say, hey, like, they're riding high atop the West, like, why only one round? I guess I am a believer that, you know, experience matters, and maybe there is some learning to be done by some of these guys that haven't tasted true NHL playoffs and all that kind of stuff. So I just think they've come this far. If they were to get punted in the first round, that would be a massive disappointment to me. But if they get through the first round, then by winning the division, you're going to make sure that you have home ice in the second round as well. And then that sets you up again with a home record now of 23-7-4. Home ice matters. Home cooking matters to this Vancouver Hockey Club with 4 more to go on the homestand here. So they've been terrific on home ice. They were good here against the Montreal Canadiens, and we'll see if they can ride this out and hold off the Edmonton Oilers again. Canucks were winners. The Oilers were winners. So the up-to-date standings at the top of the Pacific, Vancouver with 96 points through 70 games, Edmonton with 88 points, so they're eight back with three games in hand, plus that head-to-head showdown in the Alberta Capital in April. So the Oilers still have reason to believe, but for the Vancouver Canucks, it's all about head down, take care of the next business. And for them, that's Saturday night now against the Calgary Flames. And it was interesting that the Flames are in town early. Like, they're an hour flight away. And I ran into Ryan Huska, their head coach, in the press box, taking in this game, said, yeah, came in early. They'll skate here in Vancouver and then be ready to go on Saturday night. So that is the sixth game of the homestand for the Vancouver Canucks, the Flames here on Saturday. But we're breaking down a 4-1 win over the Montreal Canadiens. It's Jeff and Irv with you. A lot still ahead here on this episode as we get inside the locker room. We'll get to our rink-wide Vancouver three-star selection, stat that stands out. We'll get to some listener feedback as well. So we're just getting revved up here after the Canucks knock off the Habs. They take care of business. Both games this year, a November win in Montreal, and then this one here, 4-1, the final. You're listening to Rinkwide Vancouver.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
On the Canucks beat the Montreal Canadiens. Jeff and Irv with you here on Rinkwide, breaking this thing down. Zadorov with a pair, his fifth and sixth. Garland up to 15, Nils Amon, his first since, I think it was the game against San Jose just before Christmas, the last time that he scored his third goal of the season. So it's been a while for Nils Amon, and that is, in fact, December 23rd, 23-game drought. So a long time between goals for Nils Amon, rather. But a good night for the Grinders, and Nils Amon certainly is part of that group. All right, two guys that scored. I got Zadorov in my brain. That's why I mentioned him. But we'll get to the three stars, and you're going to hear his name as well there. But Nikita Zadorov, after the game, was just asked about the way that the play unfolded on that second goal late in the first period where he skated miles, jumped up into the rush, took a great feed from Ilya Mikheyev. So this is Zadorov describing his second of the two goals he scored in this hockey game.
They turned the puck over in the corner, and then just pretty much I went quick up to Olaf, and then I saw their two forwards were boarding behind the net, so I just had to find a soft area as the four-man ice. I think it's we've been working a lot of practice for that, and good play by Mick to keep his head up and make a play for me there.
There you go, Nikita Zadorov, a little play-by-play. I mean, he's got a calling after his career, but his career still has plenty of time to go here, and we'll see where he's playing next year. But for now, certainly a Vancouver Canuck, and I think they're happy to have him and looking forward to seeing him play some playoff hockey just because of the elements that he brings to this group. Now, Connor Garland, same thing. Like, you know, again, we know at his size, not the biggest guy, but man, he wins his more than a share of battles and showed some nice finishes. He raced away late in the second period to make it a 3-0 hockey game for the Canucks and a big goal at the time, even though the Habs did get their one back. But still, the Canucks extending a lead that was at 2-0. Garland makes it 3-0. Here's Connor Garland on his 15th goal of the season.
Yeah, Teddy just made a great play. You know, we want to be slashing across his wingers, and you know, he just had some poise and put it under the guy's stick and hit me in stride. And I was fortunate enough, like I said earlier, the D was on a end of a late shift. And, you know, I was aware I was going to have some time there. He just couldn't get all the way over. So just got lucky, hit the post and went the right way.
Yeah, some interesting insight from him there, talking about he knew that the defense were at the end of a long shift. So take advantage of that to make them chase, and was able to get his shot away, as he said, found his spot, and it went in. And gave credit to Teddy Bluger, who gets the assist there. So some good work by the Vancouver Canucks on this night. They defeat the Montreal Canadiens by a score of 4-1. Before we get to the three stars, I just want to mention, because it's funny, you know, most of these nights it is Pettersson, it's Hughes, it's JT Miller. Elias Pettersson doesn't figure in the scoring, had the big night the other night against Buffalo. But I thought that there were some signs that this was a continuation.
Yeah.
Again, the Deeks were there. That tells you that the confidence is starting to come back. He draws the penalty on Suzuki early in the hockey game, and then he had that other sequence in the second period where, you know, puck between his legs. Like, that's when he's getting creative and he's able to create space for himself. So, yeah, he doesn't add to his point total, but I felt like this was another step forward for Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, absolutely. And he had a shot that hit Connor Garland that was going in. Right. And if it didn't hit Connor Garland, that we'd be talking about Elias Pettersson getting on the score sheet. But yeah, the confidence is there. And I don't think it was ever gone completely, to say. I think he always had it, and he just needed one of those games like he did the other night against the Buffalo Sabres to not only tell himself, but to, you know, tell everyone else that I am still him, and I can do these moves and I can do these things. So, you know, him making the moves at in with open ice and beating guys and, you know, opening up his stance for wanting the puck on the power play for a slap shot. Like, I think that changing of the positioning, and it's going to work wonders. He's going to score a clapper on the power play at some point because he's just too good of a player to not.
No official shots on goal.
Yeah.
Five attempts, didn't hit the target, but he did hit Mike Matheson a couple of times. And you know full well that that grudge has not been let go since his rookie season when he got body slammed behind the net in Florida. And last year picked the pocket of Matheson in overtime and scored. And, you know, he was asked, did you know who that was? And kind of coyly, yeah, he knew exactly. So Mike Matheson, wherever he's playing, a bit of a target for Elias Pettersson, and he was tonight with his three hits in this hockey game. All right, let's get to the rink-wide Vancouver three stars. The three stars selected in the building by the broadcast crew, Zadorov, Mikheyev, and Casey DeSmith, who, again, wasn't busy tonight, but did make a couple of saves. I wasn't sure if the goaltender was going to factor into the three stars, but those are the three selected in the building. No issue with those here on the program as well. I think Garland certainly could get an honorable mention. I know you wanted Podkolzin to get an honorable mention, so that you just had the Russian trio.
He had a good game.
You would add Zadorov, Mikheyev, and Pods as the three stars. But we'll go Zadorov, Mikheyev, and Casey DeSmith. So, yeah, good night. Some of the lesser lights do some of the heavy lifting. Most of the heavy lifting, basically all of the heavy lifting for the Vancouver Canucks in this 4-1 victory over the Montreal Canadiens. Still ahead, we'll get into our listener feedback. Want to hear from you at Rinkwide Van on our social channels. Your chance to contribute to the podcast, and we certainly welcome all of those contributions. We'll get the stat that stands out and a thought or two on the next opponent for the Vancouver Canucks. The Calgary Flames are in game number 6 of this 9-game homestand. 4-1. The Canucks defeat the Habs. You're listening to Rinkwide Vancouver. Canucks defeat the Canadiens 4-1 at Rogers Arena. We're going to get to the stat that stands out and some listener feedback here in a sec. But before we do that, and we told you about this the other night, you'll hear it again as we move forward. But we're reminding you to join us and the rest of Sakaris and Price and the Canucks Army crew Saturday, April 20th at the Hollywood Theater in Kitsilano for a special tribute to our late friend Jason Botchford. It's all presented by Fountain Tire. Of course, Jason made a huge impact on all of our lives. We're going to honor his legacy in the media the best way that we know how. That's by celebrating the Canucks' return to the playoffs. Yes, playoff hockey coming back to Vancouver for the first time in 9 years. The event's called Bro Do Your Playoffs, and it's a media event celebrating the life and legacy of Jason. It's going to feature shared memories, special guests, an exclusive performance from the matinee, and a whole bunch more. So it should be a fun afternoon. up close and personal event. It's going to take place on April the 20th, and proceeds will go to support a local mental health organization. Ticket details will be released shortly, so circle that date on your calendar, April 20th, at the Hollywood Theater in Kitsilano. All right, let's get to the stat that stands out. And for that one, I'm going to, honesty is the best policy, right? Always. credit to our colleague here at Rinkwide and Sakara Surprise, Grady Sass, who does a ton of good work behind the scenes. And you're starting to see him a little bit more now. Canucks Convo as well. This was a tweet from Grady. Canucks have now allowed 2 goals or less in 7 of their last 8 games. And they're 6-1-1 over that span. So it goes hand in hand, tightening things up defensively. They're not scoring as much as they did early in the season. That's fine because there has been a transformation to the way that they're playing and the way that they're winning and the way that Rick Tocchet wants them to play and getting back to Staples and all those types of things. And we mentioned earlier, I mean, the big part of the night, 3 third period shots for the Habs. They're down. They're supposed to be chasing this game, score effects and all that wasn't there. And the Canucks showed that structure in the third period, holding Buffalo and Montreal both to 17 shots on goal in front of Casey DeSmith. So it is. It's a different look to the Vancouver Canucks, and proof is there. 6-1-1 over the last 8 games, 7 of those 8. Only Colorado was able to score more than 2 goals against the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, good on Grady. I've been looking at something similar to that. So 11-7-3 over the last 21 games, 2 or fewer 12 times. So yeah. Going back even further. Right. So I think it when you look at it, Jeff, it's the attention to detail. It is the being committed to their defensive game. It is, you know, cleaning up the garbage in front of the net. It's letting your goalie see the puck and make plays. And I think it's shutting down games. It's really harnessing the fact that, you know, they want to be that tough team in the defensive zone to play against. You know, they don't allow many shots on net. You know, they are a very good team right now in their own end. And the stat obviously proves it.
Yeah, we'll see if they can keep that up. Calgary team that sold at the deadline, doesn't have a whole lot to play for now. So, you know, and another team that doesn't generally score an awful lot. Their big scorers all play for Vancouver. Well, not all of them, but some of them, including Zadorov with his pair. Who knew when the Canucks made the trades with Calgary that Zadorov was going to be the gunslinger and not Elias Lindholm? Whatever the case, Calgary's in. And then even Los Angeles and Dallas and Anaheim. I mean, Dallas can score. I shouldn't paint everybody with the same brush here. But, you know, if the Canucks can continue to sort of play this lockdown style, every reason to believe that they can continue to have defensive success here throughout the homestand and really all the way to and then in the playoffs. All right, let's get to some listener feedback. Lots of it coming in. We appreciate it all at Rinkwide Van on our social channels, and we go there after each and every game here on the podcast. Chris says, 6'6" of Big Z and DeSmith looked great against his former team. Must have felt extra special after all the time he spent there. Of course, he was a Montreal Canadian on paper last summer and then was dealt to Vancouver for Tanner Pearson. There's a draft pick that went the other way. A bit of a rough night for Tanner Pearson as well. He got a quick little video nod. I won't even say it's a tribute, but the Canucks acknowledged that he was back in the building. And then Noah Juulsen welcomed him with a thunderous check there late on a power play in the second period. And again, it sort of speaks to the issues and not a knock on Tanner Pearson, who was terrific to deal with and a pro through and through. But you know, he's getting second unit power play time on a Montreal team that doesn't generate an awful lot. He was a healthy scratch the other night in Edmonton. So he got planted on the seat of his pants by Noah Juulsen, the former Montreal Canadian. There's a big scrum around Juulsen in the locker room today. Not a lot of connections in that Canuck locker room to the Habs. And so with all the traveling Montreal media, they all wanted a piece of Noah Juulsen. But Mark says, Garland, absolute puck thief on the forecheck, has to have some of the best turnover numbers in the league. And Tony echoes that and says, Garland, man, he wins a lot of pucks along the boards. Guy is a workhorse. Absolutely. Loved the point after he scored too. You know, point Teddy Bluger and why not? He's an emotional guy, but when he's going, he's fun to watch and hard to play against, even at his size. And got into it with Arbor Jack Eye, and I saw that you said probably didn't want any part of the Wi-Fi code there. Maybe stick to the Ethernet. Plug in.
No, absolutely. But I mean, look, you look at, there's 2 guys. I mean, look, they connects with a lot of smaller guys on the team. Quinn Hughes, you know, obviously. Hoaglander. But Hoaglander and Garland are probably the 2 hardest guys to play against for opponents.
Yep.
Right? They're tenacious on pucks. They get after guys. They're little guys, so they get in right up against their body, and they make it hard along the boards. And, you know, it's a good thing because their teammates want to play with them, and guys hate playing against them.
Thalia says everybody contributed, solid effort through all three periods, didn't give Habs a chance to build on anything. Azure Chief says the structure had a lot of staples tonight. Yeah, I mean, this is the way Rick Tocchet wants his team to play. They'll face better opponents here down the stretch and certainly in the playoffs, but it's about putting habits in place now, and they got away from them a few weeks ago, but they do seem to be back playing more to the way that they want. Travis says, John Shorthouse and Ray Ferraro are so good together. Keep them together for all of the games. I think Ray's going to be busy come playoff time. he's got other assignments, and we'll see if Shorty gets the nod here. It'll be interesting. Obviously, the Oilers are going to the playoffs, so there's going to be... Well, we know the Leafs are going to the playoffs. The Jets are going to the playoffs. So we'll see how the broadcast assignments are handed out. It would be great if Shorty had the opportunity to call certainly the first round. But with the Oilers, we'll see what happens there and who gets the call. Justin says that one lotto line shift was sure such a tease. Too bad they got scored on during the next one. But yeah, late in the second period. Look, Brock Besser barely played in the second period. The Habs had the three straight power plays, lean on the penalty killers. Besser's not one of them. And so I think Rick Tocchet was, you know, looking for a way to get Besser out there and thought, why not? Really, his top lines hadn't had a lot of five-on-five ice time. So he went with Lotto Line, and 5 minutes to go in the second period, they had a dominant shift buzzing around, but weren't able to score. But, I think that's it's a great option for Tocchet, and doesn't have to always go there, but in certain situations to know that you can load up like that and you're probably going to get some sort of result. And again, it didn't land in the back of the net, but I thought those three made some things happen and certainly spent their shift buzzing in the offensive end.
No, absolutely. And I think that, like you just mentioned, I'll echo that. Like, Tocchet knows. Yep. The coaching staff knows. The team knows. Like, if they go to a down a game or even up a game and you're trying to score again, that's a line that if other guys aren't going, if you're not getting the contributions from, you know, the rest of the 6-4 or the rest of the 9 forwards in there, then it's something that you can do. And it's something that has obviously worked. And I'm sure those three enjoy it as well. You know, you have to have that much talent, you know, playing together.
A couple here on Pod Colson. Big Sven says the play of pods need young guys on cheap contracts to contribute. And if he can play well and produce, that would go a long way. I thought, and again, he doesn't kill penalties, so there wasn't a lot of ice time for him in that second period, and even in the first, he gets some second unit power play time, but we know the second unit doesn't see a lot of ice. Will says, gotta say Pod Colson has stood out since being called up. Smart defensive plays, trusted late in game, part of a nice team win overall. Just a shade over 10 minutes for Pod Colson. 10 minutes and 16 seconds of ice time, but two shots matches Noah Juulsen for the team high, 6 hits. So even in 10 minutes of ice time, being physical, and picks up his first point of the season, gets the second assist on the Nils Amon goal. So a bit of a confidence boost, I would think, for Vasily Podkolzin. We talked about when Dakota Joshua comes back. There's going to be options for Rick Tocchet. There's going to be decisions for Rick Tocchet. PDG's been a healthy scratch now, back-to-back games, but Amon scores, and maybe that gives him a leg up to stay in the lineup for Saturday at the very least. But we talked about Archdeep Baines, and he got his 5-game look. Podkolzin is a different category because this guy has played and scored in the National Hockey League. So I think at some point you wanted to see a bottom line. With Baines, it was about getting his feet wet and just learning the ropes at the NHL level, and the next time he gets called up, I'm sure he'll be better, and he'll want to put pressure on himself to contribute at some point. And obviously, the dream of that first NHL goal. You know, Podkolzin's played all right. I haven't had an issue with him. Didn't play much the other night because they went down to 3 lines, try to protect the lead in the third period. So wasn't a lot of ice time. Again, 10 minutes and 16 seconds isn't a huge portion, but 2 shots on goal, 4 attempts, 6 hits. I mean, that's making the most of limited ice time.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing, right? And he looks comfortable. Like, he doesn't look like he's out of place, and he's not afraid. And I think that's one of the things. You mentioned the hits. He's getting in on the action, right? Yep. Likes feeling the body. He's putting his body where it should be against other guys along the boards, winning puck battles. But the one thing I want to say about him is we've talked about him, and it's a lot of it has been positive. Right, we haven't talked about him for the wrong reasons, and I think that that's a good thing for a guy that, you know, went down there and tried to find his game, and he needs more time. And you know, everyone talked about, when's he going to get the call up? What's going to happen when he does get the call up? If in fact he does get the call up, he gets the call up, he comes up, and he's been in the lineup. And I think that that's an important thing. Now he's making a difficult, or he will make it a difficult decision if he keeps playing, you know, this well, for Rick Tocchet and his coaching staff to take him out of the lineup.
Canucks will practice on Friday and then take on the Flames on Saturday. It was interesting, Rick Tocchet at the morning skate saying originally the plan was to take Friday off and practice on Wednesday, but he just thought coming out of the win over Buffalo the other night that this team, again, need a little bit of rest. So he elected to give them Wednesday off. They were back with a full morning skate and then a pretty thorough victory over the Montreal Canadiens, but they will have a practice on Friday and get ready for the Flames here on Saturday. And we've talked about the fact that the Flames have shipped a number of players out. Nazem Kadri is their leading scorer with 59 points. Blake Coleman and Yegor Sharangovich both have 28 goals on the season. Of course, one of the storylines here, though, will be the return of Andrei Kuzmenko. And we'll see if we see the big smile, if he has reason to flash that big grin. We talked about Tanner Pearson getting a little Jumbotron time. I would imagine that the Canucks will welcome Kuzi back to town, and we'll see if he's any sort of factor as he faces the only other team that he's played for in the National Hockey League on Saturday.
Well, I think that the biggest thing is they're going to have a lot of goals to pick from the video tribute from his one year here in Vancouver. And there were some nice ones too, to be completely honest. So, I mean, you're going to see it. You're going to, he's probably out with the, you know, obviously had met some of his fellow Russian counterparts and probably saw them after the game and, you know, probably going to see them again before Saturday, but you're going to see the smile, you know, you're going to see the wave and he should, and he's probably going to get a pretty big cheer because, you know, he obviously was like very well liked here and it just didn't work out. I think that was the biggest thing. Systems didn't work out, things didn't work out, and that happens in the National Hockey League.
Well, and they gave him the contract, but they were also able to get out from under the second year of that contract, and that provided them a little bit of cap flexibility. 15 games for Kuzmenko. He was ill. He's missed a couple along the way. 5 goals and 8 points, so basically half a point a game guy. A couple on the power play for Andrei Kuzmenko. But it'll be good to see him back in Vancouver, just this time wearing a different uniform. So that's among the storylines. Jacob Markstrom has missed some time as well, but he's been back at practice this week, and they announced that Dan Vladar is gone for the year now, needs hip surgery, so Markstrom is expected to play on Saturday against his former team as well. 4-1, the Vancouver Canucks defeat the Montreal Canadiens, 6-1-1 now in their last 8 games. They keep pace and maintain that 8-point lead ahead of the Edmonton Oilers at the top of the Pacific Division. For Irfan Ghaffar, this is Jeff Patterson. As always, appreciate your support. 12 to go before the playoffs. We're looking forward to that. And of course, we'll ramp things up when the postseason arrives. But that is going to do it for this episode of Rinkwide Vancouver.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.